So Lord Krishna was thinking like that. It is such a difficult time, Kali Yuga. What are we going to do to help the people? So then the Lord decided to descend himself and to give people a very easy process. Very easy. Just chant the holy names of the Lord. Anyone can do it. A child can do it. Anyone can do it. Sometimes even animals do it. In other ages, it is not so easy. There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krite Yad Dhyayato Vishnu Tretayam Yajato Makai Dwaparam Paracharyavam Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat. It's a very important verse, and it is saying that in the Krita Yuga or the Satya Yuga, the golden age within this universe, then Dhyayato Vishnu, people, the practice for God realization was Dhyayato Vishnu, to meditate, silent meditation on Lord Vishnu. And then in Treta Yuga, the next Yuga, Tretayam Yajato Makai. In Treta Yuga, the process was fire sacrifice. Ceremonial, very formal fire sacrifice. Then, in the Dwapara Yuga, just before this Kali Yuga we're in now, Dwaparam Paracharyavam means, in Dwapara Yuga, the process is to worship the deity very elaborately. But Kalo, in this Kali Yuga, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat, the same results, the same result which people got in the other ages by doing those other more complicated activities, the same result is achieved in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And we go chanting, I don't know about here in Malaysia so much, although I guess you must do, but in London, where Bhakti Vrajendra Nandan Maharaj and I joined, where we spent many years together, we would go out down the main street of London. It is called Oxford Street. Big, busy street. Thousands of people. It's quite wild, actually. We would go out there chanting. And we would become so absorbed in chanting the holy names, we would forget where we were. And it would make no difference. There are thousands of people. There are many shops. And a lot of advertisements. And all this commercialism and extreme materialism. But we would not notice it. Because we were absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is our experience, that if you chant nicely, you become free from the influence of the material world which is surrounding you. So it's a very easy process to chant the holy names of the Lord. But in the Krita Yuga, the Satya Yuga, they were doing silent meditation. Can you imagine trying to do silent meditation in the main street of Kuala Lumpur? What is the name of the main street in Kuala Lumpur? Speak up, I cannot hear you.
Jalan Tuanku Abdurrahman and Bukit Bintang.
Wow, okay. Jalan something
and
Bukit something else. Okay. Can you imagine at midday on Saturday morning, when all the people are running around here and there and shopping and shouting and everything, can you imagine doing silent meditation there? I don't think so. You'd be distracted. Even if you try to do it at home, there are many things happening at home, right? Someone is watching television. Someone is playing some Bollywood music. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. Have you heard of that? Oh, you understand Hindi? I don't know the names of any Tamil movies. I'm sorry. Only Hindi. I only speak Hindi. But can you imagine trying to silently meditate and someone is playing in the next room, someone is playing the theme song to Om Shanti Om, and in the other room they have the television up loud, and in the other room someone is shouting about this and that, and you are trying to silently meditate. What do you think? Not easy. Not easy. And then in the Treta Yuga, they do fire sacrifice. It is very complicated. And some of these sacrifices, they go on for years. And you have to pronounce the mantras perfectly. Otherwise, if you make one mistake, one syllable wrong, then you don't get the result. Or the process of deity worship. Here, of course, in our Jagannath Mandir, we're doing deity worship every day. But it is a relatively simple standard. Relatively simple. Although it's much higher than most people could maintain at home, but by Shastric standards, it's relatively simple. In some temples in India, even today, they're trying to maintain more sophisticated standards. Just as an example, I don't know if you have been to Rajasthan, North India. There is a town called Nathdwar. And in Nathdwar is a very famous deity called Srinathji. He is Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And, you know, in that temple, they change his clothes 8 times a day. 8 times a day. And listen to this. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Listen to this. They never use the same set of clothes twice. Only one time. For an hour or hour and a half, something like that. Then the next set of clothes is put on, and the other set, that's it, finished. So, anyway, and so many offerings and artis, and so many different food preparations. It's very complex. And only experts who really know what they're doing and who have lots of money, only people like that can do it. Otherwise, you can't really do it. All you can do is come to the temple and look. But you cannot actually do it yourself. But the chanting of the holy names is so simple that, as we said, anyone can do it. A child can do it. Even sometimes animals do it. Would you believe? Would you believe? Our devotees were at a youth festival in South Africa a few years ago. And they were over on one side, and they were having kirtan and prasadam distribution and so on, and young people would come and participate. And one day they were sitting having kirtan. There may be 30 or 40 young people taking part, plus one dog. And the kirtan built up and built up. And everyone stood up, and the dogs stood up also, and the kirtan's building up more and more. Everyone is starting to dance, and the dog started dancing on his rear legs, seriously. And everyone was chanting Hare Krishna. And ladies and gentlemen, devotees, the dog was chanting Hare Krishna also, in dog language, but he was chanting Hare Krishna ecstatically. Oh! And then the kirtan stopped, everyone sat down, and the dog came over and prostrated himself flat out on the ground and put his head on one of the feet of the devotee who had been leading the kirtan. So, yeah, even a dog can chant. And what to speak of children, and of course what to speak of adults. So this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And there are a number of reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared. One, as we said, which is in a sense most relevant to us, is to give the chanting of the holy names. Not just the holy names, meaning not just any holy names, but the holy names of Krishna himself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because you know, that in one day of Brahma, there are 1,000 cycles of the 4 yugas. Krishna states this in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu. Sahasra Yuga means a thousand cycles of the four yugas, Ahariyad Brahmano, in the day of Brahma. So, in every yuga, Satya Treta Dwapara Kali, in those 1,000 cycles in the day of Brahma, in every yuga, the Lord appears and gives Krishna consciousness. But generally, he doesn't exactly give Krishna consciousness. Generally, the Lord comes means a form of Lord Vishnu comes. A form of Lord Vishnu comes. And he gives the process of devotional service to Lord Vishnu. We don't want to make things too complicated for you. And every Dwapara Yuga, there is a blackish form of Lord Vishnu who appears. Not Krishna specifically, but Vishnu, who of course is subservient to Krishna. And his name is Lord Shyam. And in every Kali Yuga, there is a yellow incarnation of Lord Vishnu, who teaches the chanting of the holy names of Lord Vishnu. So people can go to Vaikuntha. But one time in a day of Brahma, Lord Krishna himself appears, the original supreme personality of Godhead. One time in a day of Brahma, and in the Kali Yuga, immediately following that, Krishna appears again as Lord Chaitanya and gives people not just the chanting of the names of Vishnu, but the chanting of the names of Krishna, particularly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in this way, the people cannot simply go to Vaikuntha, but they can go to Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest of all the spiritual planets by far. And there they can associate with Lord Krishna himself and enter into the pastimes of Lord Krishna and be with Lord Krishna himself. Whereas otherwise, they go to Vaikuntha and they can associate with Lord Vishnu, which, you know, we must say, is a lot better than staying in Kuala Lumpur or even going to America or some heavenly planet like that, like Canada. Much better. Much better. But still, Goloka Vrindavan is the highest spiritual realm. And it is only achievable. It is only achievable when Lord Krishna comes in Dwapara Yuga one time in a day of Brahma, or when Lord Chaitanya comes one time in a day of Brahma. Now, like I said, I hope we're not getting too technical for you. We don't want anyone falling asleep or becoming cross-eyed or becoming anxious at all. But this is actually the fact. When Lord Krishna went back to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, he was thinking to himself, as we said, how to help the people in Kali Yuga, because it's very difficult. But he was also thinking how to give the people access to Goloka Vrindavan, what we call Vraja Prema, the love of the inhabitants of Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan. So the appearance of Lord Chaitanya is very, very special in that way. Very, very special. That it is the only time in a day of Brahma when people can go to Goloka Vrindavan and develop a personal relationship with Krishna himself in Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, simply Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, and these other Vaikuntha forms of Lord Vishnu. So this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Special mission, very special. Not just to help the suffering people of Kali Yuga, not simply that, but to give them the highest thing, access to Goloka Vrindavan, access to Radha and Krishna, who are otherwise not accessible. So this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see in the Adi Leela, the first part, in the third chapter, is titled The External Reasons for Lord Chaitanya's Appearance. External, meaning external in regards to other people, external to himself. He wants to help other people. External in that sense. But then the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita is titled The Internal Reasons for the Appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Internal reasons means his personal reasons in regard to himself. What he was looking for himself, for himself, when he appeared. Internal in that sense, as opposed to external in the sense of other people, not himself personally or directly. So that's a very interesting discussion. That's a very interesting discussion. Let us just touch on it briefly. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's very nice description again of when Lord Chaitanya went back to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna, now he's back in Goloka, and Lord Krishna was thinking how nice it was to be on planet Earth. How nice it was, and to be surrounded by all these wonderful devotees who love me so much and who will just do anything for me any time. And they were serving me so nicely. I was so happy being served by them. Krishna was thinking about this. Then, suddenly, an idea struck Krishna's mind. Listen to this, devotees. Listen to this. How do you say listen in Tamil? Huh? Linga. Okay. I'm learning. Step by step. I'll get it. I'll speak to you about it later. us. So Krishna was thinking, how happy I was being served by them. It was wonderful. But then an idea, a thought struck Krishna. Wow. Krishna thought that even though I was enjoying so much being served by them, Krishna thought, it seems to me they were enjoying even more than me by serving me. I was enjoying so much being served, but they, serving me, were enjoying even more. And this really fascinated Krishna. It really caught his attention. And Krishna thought of different of those devotees. That one devotee was serving me, doing this, doing that. And this devotee was twice as happy as me. Twice as happy. And Krishna thought, wow, that's amazing. Twice as happy as me. And I was really happy. Then he thought of another devotee. Some other devotee was, would you believe? Listen to this. Some other devotee was 10 times happier. Twice as happy, that's quite something. How about 10 times happier? And Krishna just felt like, wow, that's unbelievable. 10 times. And then Krishna thought about another devotee. That devotee was 20 times happier than him through serving him. And then another devotee, can you believe it, was 100 times happier. And another devotee was 1,000 times happier. Krishna's head was spinning, devotees. He just could not. It did not compute. He couldn't grasp it, really. It was overwhelming. Then some other devotee was 10,000 times happier. And ultimately, Srimati Radharani, Krishna went deep into thought, thinking about Radharani. And he understood she was 10 million times happier through serving him than he was being served by her. And Krishna was just so amazed, so totally bewildered. Krishna then thought, right, that's it. I've had enough of just being God. I want to become a devotee. So he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Specifically, he appeared in the mood of Radharani to really experience what Radharani experiences. This is Lord Chaitanya. So there's a nice verse. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes a little bit of the detail of this. Just listen to this. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayaiva Swajo Yenad Bhuta Madurima Kidrisho Va Madhya Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tad Bhavadya Samajani Sachi Garba Sindho Harindu, which means desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love. Point one, desiring to understand how amazing is the love of Radharani. Two, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love. What is it she sees in him which stimulates her so much to love him so much? And three, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love. So, desiring to understand these three things, the Supreme Lord Krishna, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. These are the three internal reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared. His reasons for himself, things he wanted to come to grips with for himself, his own understanding, his own realization, his own experience, independent of the considerations about helping the people in Kali Yuga and even helping them go to Goloka Vrindavan, helping them approach Radha and Krishna rather than just Lakshmi and Narayan. Independent of those external reasons which are just to do with other people, Krishna himself personally appeared specifically in order to understand these three things. So let's just run through them a little further. He wanted to understand the glory of Radharani's love. How amazing is this love? How multifaceted is this love? This love, which is so amazing that even when there is some challenge, some great obstacle, some great difficulty, but still it does not affect her love. Because Krishna, devotees, listen to this. Krishna sometimes is mischievous. Krishna is not just all day, every day, just sitting there blessing people. Krishna is a person, and he has a multifaceted character. And sometimes Krishna is mischievous, and sometimes he teases the gopis and Radharani herself. Just one example that we read about two nights ago we were talking about Lord Chaitanya here in the temple, and it was in the context in a book called Chaitanya Mangala, where Rukmini is speaking to Krishna in Dwarika, Krishna refers to how he teased her in the past. Are you familiar with that? Krishna said to Rukmini, his first wife, Krishna said, you know what? I am not qualified to have a wife like you. You are a princess. What am I? I'm just a cowherd boy. You are really high class. Look at me. I didn't even go to school. I was just out there herding the cows every day. You're from rich, royal family. I'm just a farmer. So, you don't deserve to have a nonsense husband like me. You should just divorce me now before it's too late and just marry someone who is royal, a royal prince, and become a queen. Of course, Rukmini was totally dedicated to Krishna. She didn't care who he was or what he was. She was ready to die for him a million times. But Krishna was teasing her. But go on, leave me. Leave me. Go. Get away before it's too late. And the description is that Rukmini, after this had been going on for a minute or two, it became too much for her. She fainted. Like a tree falls to the ground when it's blown over by the wind. Just straight over. Bang. So you see, Krishna sometimes is mischievous. Sometimes he tells the gopis he's going to meet them, but he does not show up. And sometimes he goes to meet some other gopi. Yes, Krishna is very mischievous. But Radharani's love for Krishna is so glorious that Krishna can do anything. It will not affect her even one little bit. You know, some husbands have told me, well, I'm not married and I have not been married in this lifetime, but I know a number of husbands, I know many husbands, and some husbands have told me that sometimes they get late and they get home late, and somehow, you know, they weren't able to phone their wife and tell their wife, and they just show up late. And some husbands have told me, ladies, that when they got home, their wives shouted at them. Can you believe it? This is what I have been told by reliable sources. Is it true? He's nodding his head. Okay. Because they're thinking, what is this nonsense husband of mine doing? I cook the meal for him. Now it's cold. And why didn't he come back in time? And, anyway, ladies, don't mind too much. But I have been told this by reliable sources. But Radharani, she doesn't react like that. That is the glory of her love. That anything can happen. Krishna can do anything. But her love remains. Just as Lord Chaitanya said in the last verse of Shikshastika, which he's speaking, of course, in the mood of Radharani. Aslisha Vapadaratam Panashtamam Adarshanam Mamahatam Kolotuva Yatatata Vavididatu Lampato Mat Prananatas Tusa Eva Napara. Krishna says, I mean, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radharani. In other words, Radharani is speaking, really, saying that whether whether you make me broken-hearted by not appearing in front of me, you just go off elsewhere, or whether you crush me in your embrace. I'm so close, you bring me so close that it hurts. Still, either way, you're always my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. This is the glory. At least this just gives a little idea of the glory of the love of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna was thinking, what is this love of hers that whatever I do, no matter how much of a nonsense I am, she still loves me the same, or even more? What is the nature of this love? And then second thing, what is it, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love? What does she see in him? You know, Krishna is very nice. Krishna is very humble. And when a person is humble and other people praise them, then that humble person thinks, no, 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 I'm not like that. Don't say things like that about me. This is how a humble person thinks when he or she is glorified. And Krishna is humble. And Krishna was thinking, what on earth is it about me? I mean, I'm a pleasant enough guy, I guess. But what is it about me which stimulates her so much that she loves me like that? She is seeing things in me which I do not see in me. And I want to know, what is it she sees in me which makes her love me so much? And third thing, very important, the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love. In other words, how she feels. What is her experience? The emotions she feels, the joy, the happiness she feels as she interacts with Krishna. And Krishna was just astonished by these things. He couldn't believe it. And therefore he decided, for myself, for my own education, so I can experience it for myself and understand it for what it is, I want to appear as Lord Chaitanya, the combined form of Srimati Radharani and myself. So therefore he appeared. These are his personal reasons, for just his own personal reasons, why he appeared. Now, I have a question, devotees. Listen. Right, listen, you'll get it. What time is the drama meant to be? Oh, we've still got 3 minutes and 45 seconds, okay. So anyway, these are the internal reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So he is really a very extraordinary personality. What to speak of comparing him to the different Vishnu avatars? The incarnations that generally appear from time to time. Even when we compare him to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is very special. Because Krishna, he does not understand these three things that we've just been talking about. He really doesn't understand them. And sometimes he is completely bewildered by them. But as Lord Chaitanya, he came to understand them very nicely. And it was just a wonderful experience for him. You know, Radharani's love for Krishna is so strong that sometimes he becomes bewildered. And for example, you know, when someone becomes very confused, they don't know what's going on, they may drop something. Or they become very confused, they may say the wrong thing. Or they may turn around and walk into the wall, bang, because they just sort of lost control. So this happens to Krishna. In Nectar of Devotion, there's the description Prabhupada mentions, how Lord Krishna, he got tired. He was fed up with becoming bewildered when Radharani comes by and doing stupid things, and then people would laugh at him. And Krishna thought, no more. Next time Radharani comes by, I am going to be cool. Mr. Cool. Super cool. Cool as a cucumber. I will be unaffected. No problem. Let her come. So Krishna was milking the cows. Very busy. Milking the cows, it's all going on. Yes, we're milking the cows. And along came Radharani and the gopis. And Krishna saw, oh, here they come. Watch out, watch out. But today, we are cool. So he kept himself together. And Radharani and the gopis walked by and they were surprised. There's Krishna milking the cow. And everything is fine. And he's not affected by seeing Radharani. And Krishna thought, wow, I'm doing really well today. And suddenly he saw the gopis were just roaring with laughter. And pointing at him, oh no, look at Krishna, oh! And Krishna thought, what? What have I done this time? I thought I was cool, milking the cow. And then Krishna noticed, Krishna saw, he was milking a bull. And Krishna thought, oh no, not again. So usually it's like that. Because of the power of Radharani's love, Krishna becomes overwhelmed. But as Lord Chaitanya, he finally comes to understand it and experience it. So it's a whole different dimension. It's Krishna in a whole different dimension from even when he is Krishna. And what to speak of when he's some Vishnu avatar or some Leela avatar or Purusha avatar, these different forms expanded from the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya is unique, very, very special. And we should try to understand as much as we are able. We should try to understand Lord Chaitanya and appreciate Lord Chaitanya, his mission to help us, plus his personality and that personal aspect of his appearance in this world. And how to understand that? You read Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's how to understand. First of all, you chant Hare Krishna very nicely. Then you read Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many of these things will become clear. Just like someone unlocked a door and you're able to go through into some new world of understanding. So there you are, some thoughts about Lord Chaitanya. Thank you very much for listening very patiently. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Gopurnima Mahotsava ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.